I do believe in a God who raised Jesus from the dead. I see resurrection on a daily basis in all kinds of ways. So why can't God do something miraculous here? And I want to participate in some way and however I can, but it's a challenge for me not to limit God and what God can do, because I do lean very heavily into God does call us to action, but also God can do a lot of things that I can't do. So it gives me more like, okay, I got to lean into the God doing transformation work.
That was the voice of Reverend Gracie Millard, our associate pastor of Serving Ministries at Treach Memorial United Methodist Church in Flower Mound, Texas. You're listening to the Life Plus God podcast, and I'm your host, Alyssa Robinson. And today we've got a little question for you that we're having a little bit of fun with, but it is Jesus a tree hugger? And so that's a fun little tongue-in-cheek way of asking, you know, as Christians, what is our role in caring for the environment, caring for this earth that is created and blessed by our Creator? Mm-hmm. And so I have Gracie here with me today to have this great conversation of whether or not Jesus was a tree hugger and if we should be tree huggers too.
Well, hopefully I can convince you that it's not bad to be
I don't know if you need to convince me of that.
I don't need to convince you. But
I've been hugging trees my whole life.
Right.
But I'm excited to have this conversation because I think that sometimes in the Christian faith, we fall into this trap of seeing this world as not our home,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
looking towards the next,
yep.
of, you know, where are we going after we die? Everything is temporary.
Yeah.
Even from dust you came and from dust you will return. And
yeah.
like that's part of our introspection is yeah. realizing we are here for a very limited time, but this earth has been here for billions of years,
yeah.
and hopefully we'll be here for billions more.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking at creation and environmentalism and what our role is in it, I think that we get a little bit of mixed messaging. And
for
I don't
sure
know
we
if
do.
The church does a great job talking about the
yeah.
environment.
Yeah.
And being stewards of the environment.
Right. No, I would agree. I think we definitely are a self-centered people. That's part of our human condition, is not only self-centered on ourselves as individuals, but then as people, we put ourselves as priority and our flourishing as priority. And so I think that has a lot to do with where there's mixed messaging, is that we get to a certain point where we're like, okay, well, I'm on board with like God and redeeming me and salvation and this being not my temporary home. So then it doesn't matter. But then there are some churches, and I would agree, it's not most, who do somewhat of a good job. And I think it especially has to do with the setting of the church, in suburban and urban contexts. It's just not going to be as focused necessarily, because we don't have as much of a relationship with the direct earth as people in rural settings, or even like coastal contexts as well, that are much more interactive with their environment, or places that have much more of or experience much more of a direct effect of issues from climate change. In America, we absolutely do not. We experience some, but to the degree in other places in the world, especially developing countries, they receive the brunt of a lot of that impact.
Well, the closer you are to the equator, the closer you are to the effects of climate change.
Sure.
And it's just rippling out from there.
Right.
I think that another issue that we have is there is so much to care about.
Yeah.
Like there is, as Christians, there is so much that we care about and we want to, like, first and foremost, care for people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus' commandment is love God and love people, love others as yourself. And so we're so focused on caring for people. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay. And then from there, once we have people taken care of, let's care for animals and let's care. And
if there's time,
Time, we'll think about the environment.
Right.
But the truth is, it's also interconnected of like caring for the environment. Like we mentioned, people are being affected by this. And so caring for the environment is caring for people in a big way.
Right.
But you don't see the immediate satisfaction
of it. Which
is
really hard for us.
Oh yeah. We don't like that. So could you share some of your personal perspectives on why environmental concerns are important for Christians to address in today's world? Like, why specifically for Christians?
Well, I think we've already touched on a lot of it. The first thing is that this is the first responsibility God gives us. If we open in the Bible from Genesis 1 or 2, maybe, that first we see God create. That's the first thing God does. And then the first thing God does for humans is give us a job, and that is to take care of and to serve, is actually the word, to serve this garden. And so this is, as image bearers of God, I think this is one of the ways that we are an image bearer of God, that God, the way God cares for us, we are called to care for this planet that God has, doesn't belong to us, but we are gifted with the responsibility to do it. And so Jesus, as the incarnate, the one who embodies humanity, the way that Jesus lives and then teaches us to love God and love others, while he may not make specific references to environmentalism, because I don't think they could comprehend really the ways humans could impact the environment, they very much saw the environment impacting them. Loving others, as you said, it doesn't specify even that the way to love others is to provide. Like, we're so dependent upon the earth for actually everything. I don't know if that's able for us to really comprehend. Like, we truly are dependent upon it to breathe, to live, to drink water, to have food. Everything comes from the earth. So in order to love people well, we need to take care of the things that we have so that we can use to take care of people. So I think it's inherently tied in Jesus's call for us to love others. But it's maybe not specifically, but I don't. So that's,
Well, and I think that's a good point that, like, in Jesus's time, it was kind of a given of, like, a lot of the stories that Jesus is using in what the kingdom of God looks like is using nature, is using plants and vegetation and farming and all of these examples of, like, you nurture people the same way you nurture this earth.
Right.
But, and so that was second nature to them.
Right.
But to us, we're like, well, I don't know how to nurture the earth. Like, I don't know what this means. And so we've kind of flipped everything on its head and lost the plot when it comes to how do we care for each other?
Because caring for the world for them was caring for other people. Or the vice versa. Like, in order to care for the poor, they had to farm it and they had to take care of the land in order to farm it, in order to feed people. And in the Ten Commandments, especially in Deuteronomy, it's honoring your mother and father so that you may flourish in the land. Some scholars have attributed it to, like, that's the same, the land is the adama, the dirt, the very earth that you're interacting with, so that you can flourish, so that you can take care of your people. It's all so much more interconnected to the actual earth than we as non-agrarian society feel like that's not the way that we interact with the earth. We don't interact the same way.
Well, so if we're coming to present day, where we are so far removed from the earth that we live in, and actually getting our hands dirty and working in that soil and having that connection, how do we become advocates for the environment? And how do we, as Christians, I don't know, like I said, we're so far removed from it. And in the culture that we live in, it feels like it's almost impossible to be good stewards of this earth, because we are in air conditioning. We are surrounded by plastic. We are in a disposable, like all of our resources are disposable. Like we contribute to that. And it feels impossible. As much as I sometimes in my head, I'm like, oh, a simpler time of just like living off the land and not having, you know, all of the modern, you know, luxuries that we have today. How do we do better when we're so surrounded by anti-environmental living?
This is what goes through my head on a weekly basis, probably at least once a week. I think about, I'm like, and we're doomed. It's easy to get sucked down in that and feel like just so overwhelmed, because it is a daunting task. And we have, humanity as a whole has certainly done a number on the earth. But something when I was thinking about this podcast was that actually spiritual disciplines and our practice as disciples of Jesus Christ is really congruent with creation care, with living as good stewards of the earth. And all the things that we would do as disciples, the more we would like lean into prayer and just being like aware, the awareness that prayer helps us with, that awareness of our presence, like where we are, the present situation that we're in. But then also like the lack of consuming. I can't think of the phrase I want to use, but like becoming less of a consumer, that discipleship is about serving and centering and like realizing like our resources are really God's resources. And so then realizing, oh, like we have all that we need. And so then that kind of could naturally become less of a consumer and more aware of what you do consume and what you do need, quote unquote need versus a want. So I think in natural Christian discipleship, there is a lot that can just naturally happen as, that is in taking care of, and helping to, in your small way, can take care of the world. But I think another way is just continuing to talk about it. And I think that's the thing I have seen over and over, is that they talked about, different theologians or eco-theologians and other people involved in creation care, because there are quite a few organizations and groups who are all about creation care. They talk about just making it part of natural conversation and just being more aware of it can help other people sort of more conscious of it, so that we communally can work together. So I think a lot of it would be making it a bigger, giving it a bigger presence in our churches, in our worship settings, in the way when we gather as Christians together, making it not only more aware, but like a priority in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand. I want to do that. Right. As a church, we want to do that.
Right.
And we've tried, you know, in the past, we've tried to do a better job of being educated consumers as a church, mm-hmm. of like, we've tried to switch over to fair trade.
Yeah.
We've tried to reduce our use of, you know, our single use plastics and right. things like that. But what we've found is as we were migrating over, it was becoming unaffordable.
Right.
And so there's this balance of like, okay, we want to do all mm-hmm. the good that we can,
yeah.
but we also want to be good stewards of the money that is mm-hmm. coming into this church. And so if we're spending an unreasonable amount of budget
yeah.
on, you know, reusable water bottles instead of plastic water bottles and things like that, that's like really expensive,
mm-hmm.
then you start to get down on yourself all over again and feel like, oh man, we're just continuing to contribute to the problem.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get out of that cycle of there? It's like, we want to do these things, but these things cost so much money mm-hmm. to invest in.
You mean like as a church?
Yeah. Yeah. As a church. And even as an individual.
It's true.
Like,
as an individual.
Because
yeah.
I, as a low income person, I want to shop sustainably. I want to support local farmers. I mm-hmm. want to take care of this earth, but I can't afford to.
Right.
I can't afford to buy my fruits and vegetables at the farmer's market. I can't
right.
afford, you know, all of these things that I really want to do. And mm-hmm. I want to take better care of the earth. And I do, like, what I would consider the bare minimum of like recycling
right.
at home, trying to use a reusable water bottle whenever I can, you
right.
know, things like that. But it just feels like defeating because
yeah.
we
yeah.
are kind of past the point of no return when it comes to environmental care mm-hmm. and how it will impact people
mm.
in the future negatively.
Right.
I'm such a Debbie Downer right now. I know. I'm so sorry. I'm putting a lot on you. But this is stuff I think about all the time of
yeah.
like, as Christians, we say our role is stewards. Like, we're mm-hmm. stewards of the gifts that we're given. We're stewards of the land that we're
yeah.
living on, all of these things. But it feels almost impossible in this culture unless
mm-hmm.
you literally like go off the grid
right.
and go live out on
right.
a farm somewhere.
Yeah. No, this is true. And I think the further in that you take that spiral, the more ways you can find that it feels like you can't make a difference, or that there's nonstop, that no matter what you do is in some way negatively affecting the environment. And that will, in our lifetime, will probably be the case. And so I have just had to give myself permission to say, well, here's what I am going to do and what I can do realistically, but also realizing for myself that just like every other part of being a Christian disciple, I don't want to say this and it be taken the wrong way necessarily, but just like every other part of being a disciple, there's inconvenience and discomfort, a change of lifestyle that is required. And this just is more tangible and concrete. And so I'm not saying like, I don't want to say like, if you buy plastic baggies, then you don't love Jesus. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say. But of just like, there are some ways that being a Christian disciple absolutely is about. Jesus tells us that this is not easy. There's a cost to discipleship. And so there may be ways that are difficult. One Lent I tried to give up single use plastics. It was so difficult. But realizing, because of how inconvenient it was, and I was like, as a single person, this is probably the most convenient it would ever be for anybody to try to do that. But thinking of ways that could be a realistic, thinking of it as a spiritual discipline, maybe, that could be realistic for you to do, knowing that it's not perfect, but it's something and it's helping you be a disciple.
How do you find that line between like realistic change and just being comfortable?
Right.
Because one of the daydreams that I've had, because honestly, I hate driving. I don't enjoy it. I would give up my car in a second if there was an easy way to get around. But we live in DFW.
And that's, yeah.
Where it, you, we're it's so almost, spread out. Yeah. And so I live in Dallas. I commute out to Flower Mound. And so if I, and I do have a bus stop at the end of my street. Yeah. So like getting around Dallas wouldn't be too hard. But I looked into, okay, if I got rid of my car and started taking the train out to Flower Mound, it would take me about 2 hours each way to get to and from work. And I'm just like, that's 4 hours of my, like, I wouldn't be getting home until 8 o'clock at night, you know, and I'd have to get up at 5 a.m. every morning. And like, what kind of life is that? But then I start to feel convicted of like, oh, well, don't you just love your luxuries and conveniences? Like, you are willing to kill the earth to not have to sit in on a commute for an extra hour, 2 hours or whatever it is. So,
no, I get, no, I get what you're saying. Cause sometimes it is, it seems like the inconvenience like that. I can't be the one to, I don't want people to use this quote, this soundbite as a way to, poo-poo other people for doing things or, I can't be the one to, I wish I could say point blank that this is what's required of discipleship. This is what's inconvenient versus God is not asking you to do something that's impossible. So I think that would honestly just be up to personal discernment in terms of like any goal in particular. Like I think of for special spiritual disciplines, like with prayer or like meditation, meditating and like practicing silence and solitude, they always say not to start with 20 minutes, like, cause you're gonna fail. Like, and it's gonna, and then you're gonna feel terrible about yourself. And then you're gonna be like, well, I'm just not good at this. I'm never gonna do it.
You're it's calling like, me out so hard right now. Cause I'm such an all or nothing person. And I am that person who like the first time I meditate, I'm like, I'm gonna sit down for an hour.
And I'm gonna like it.
And then I try it one time and I'm like, this isn't for me. And so like this whole thought of like, oh, I'm going to give up my car. Right. And that's the first thing that I'm going to do to be more environmentally conscious. And it's just like, yeah, obviously that's not going to happen for you.
Right, right. So I feel like it's just like taking small things, small steps at a time that builds into a lifestyle. And one day eventually it might make sense to do something that 5 years ago seemed like a crazy thing to do. Like I think of the life of Saint Francis. He was like my favorite person I learned about in seminary. When I learned about him, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this guy. Like he sounds like the best. He like had like a night and day shift of like all of a sudden he gave up everything that he ever had and like just started living off the earth and wandering around teaching and preaching to animals and to people. And so that was like a like very sudden shift for him. But that's not the way it is for everybody. And I don't think it's realistic for us to make ourselves try to do that because then we'll fail and then we'll feel bad about failing and then ultimately not do anything. So,
yeah. Well, okay. So where does this whole idea of environmentalism meet our faith? So you've kind of talked about spiritual practices, like increasing our awareness, spending time in prayer about like just meditating on the world around us and this earth that we're to take care of. Why is this an important part of our faith journey to do this work?
So I don't know if this is, well, no, I don't think it's just a personal thing. So as United Methodist Christians, and this is not everybody listening will be a United Methodist Christian. we believe that God is redeeming and reconciling the world, that there will be a new creation. That's what we believe our God is all about. That's what we saw in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see a God who cares deeply about this creation of God's. And so we are quick to limit it to people because we just immediately think of people. But we see in like Revelation talking about the trees and the rivers of the new Jerusalem, in Psalms and some passages in Isaiah, when it talks about this peaceable kingdom, it talks about the earth and the animals that are there. So very much believe that this is part of our calling to build God's kingdom on earth. So when Jesus prays that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are hoping to participate with God in bringing about God's kingdom. And so not only does that have to do with people and relationships, but as we've talked about earlier, that caring for the planet of God, that God created, helps people, but it's not even just because it helps people, but because God cares about it. Like, God made it and said it was good, and this was the job God gave us to do. I always just will go back to that Genesis passage, that's the very first thing God gave us to do. And so whether it helps people or not is one thing, but how about because God asked us to do it? Yeah. Because God cares about it.
Well, and it kind of takes me back to, the most quoted verse ever, John 3:16. For yeah. God so loved the world yeah. that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And I do think that when we hear the word world, we quickly convert it to people.
Yeah.
First, God so loved the people.
Yeah.
And world is so much bigger than that. And I think that when we go to the second half of that, of whosoever believes, why do we limit that to people?
Right.
Like, I believe that my little puppy dog has a soul.
Right.
And I think that soul is in tuned with the energy of Christ.
Right.
Like, I really believe that. Right. And I think that plants have souls, and this earth have like all living creatures have souls.
The way that God created everything to be in harmony, that is the ultimate shalom. In the Old Testament, that's the thing that Israel was looking towards, and that God was always wanting for creation, was a restoration to ultimate harmony, which is perfect harmony of all of creation. Like, we look at the world and we're in pretty good harmony, and the fact that like we're able to grow things and like, you know, we do know how to take care of the environment, and things thrive without our interaction. Like, we know that the world does work in harmony. And so not only are we as people like relationally supposed to like that's part of God's desires, that as people we would grow in harmony, but that like all of the world's relationships would be back in harmony, in perfect wholeness and peace. Mm-hmm. So like that peaceable kingdom passage in Isaiah is talking about a lion and lamb laying down together. So it's like, maybe that's even God's desire was that there wouldn't be predators and prey, but somehow every animal would even live in harmony together without death or without suffering on any part. And so I've forgotten what the question was, but I just get so excited about thinking about the shalom, that this is more like,
well, I think that you've answered the question perfectly,
okay.
Which was like, what does this have to do with our faith?
Yeah.
And it's like that. And I think that sometimes we forget to sit with that shalom and how meaningful that concept is, and how integral it is to our daily living is just to be in harmony with God. And I think that sometimes we treat the earth like it's a resource that serves us as opposed to the way it should be, which we are here to serve and take care of the earth.
Right.
And it makes me think of a comedy bit from George Carlin, like way back when he was talking about, this was like back in the 70s, he was talking about climate change.
Oh, wow.
And the problems that they already saw happening.
Yeah.
And he said in his comedy bit, he was like, you know, let me make this clear. The earth is not going to end. The earth will continue on. Right. We are not going to be here.
Like, right.
And that made me think about like in 2020 when we were all shut inside and we saw the earth start to repair herself.
Right.
And there was like this, because we weren't, you know,
consuming,
yeah. We weren't producing all of this pollution, all these things, because we were all in our homes. And they saw the ozone layer start to repair. They saw vegetation start to come back that they thought had gone extinct. Like
right.
all of these things. And it's like, wow, like restoration is possible.
Right.
But then we just continue on with our lives.
Right. And it goes back to kind of like a lot of people do use that Genesis passage that I keep coming back to of like, this is God's first instructions for us. It's like that humans have dominion over the earth. So that means that it's the earth was made for us.
Yeah. The earth is mine to use and abuse.
Mine to use and however I want. But then, I mean, that's just like everything we know that God, if you believe in freedom of choice, that God has given us freedom of choice just because we can do it, doesn't mean that's what we're supposed to do. But even like, that's really just all bad interpretation of like the words that were used to written. 'Cause it really is something like more along the lines of care for and serve.
I think that there's a lack of a divide between science and faith.
Okay.
As one part. And then because of that, there is a lack of cooperation within the church.
Sure.
Of like, how are we addressing the environment?
Yeah. We don't want to be told that we're doing something wrong. That's like, and not just the church, but like people as a whole, like we don't want to be told that we're doing something wrong. That just doesn't feel good. And we, maybe it's like that we're overwhelmed by it. But I think it could be like thinking that maybe going back to the very first thing of thinking like, we have so many other problems to address. Like, this isn't really our wheelhouse. Like,
it just keeps getting put on the back burner.
Right. of like, there are people who are sick and dying and hungry and stuck in poverty or stuck in prisons. And like, we have people that we need to help. And so seeing it not as a priority and be like, honestly, like, that's probably a better thing for scientists to handle. But then getting some people being like, well, I don't like what scientists tell us. And it's like, well, I don't know what you really want.
The scientists are the prophets of the modern day.
No, here's the thing. Like, I saw that for a few weeks ago, at this point, I don't know. But Reverend Elizabeth Mosley at First Dallas preached something on the prophets and said something that like, nobody wants to be told that they stink and the prophets are the ones who smell it. And so like throughout the Old Testament, they are the ones who call out these bad behaviors and nobody wants to be told that they stink, but, here they are and saying things that we don't want to hear. And we just have to kind of reconcile that, like, well, there's a lot of things that have to change about when I call myself a follower of Jesus Christ. That requires some change in my life, and it requires being a more critical thinker about, and maybe some of us that makes us think we don't have to be a critical thinker anymore because now it's all up to God.
What are some positive things that you see happening within the church today, within the realm of creation care?
There are things that churches are doing. The UMC has what we call social principles. So they're not by any means like a binding doctrine or like mandates that we have to do things, but it's more like a statement of here's where we stand as the capital UMC. Individuals may see things differently, but we have a whole section, and they update it every 4 years with General Conference. We have a whole section on the natural world and about its resources and how we as United Methodists, what we recognize as misuse of resources and the planet, and that we call upon ourselves as followers of Jesus, as people who believed that we are stewards of God's creation, that we want to see a more ecologically equitable world. We want to see a more sustainable world. So in that way, like, the UMC does have, it has social principles, but then there's groups and churches who do creation care work and programs at their churches. So they have curriculum that's out there. The Pope, not too long ago, made a statement about the environment and our call as Christians about caring for it. And so there are churches who very much do active work around it. And any church that's does, I'm afraid to say political activism, but because we recognize that living in a society, a lot of our world is affected by policies in the government. And so using what we can, our voice for what we can of what we believe, is our call to protect the world. Like, so going down and talking to people and voting in ways that we believe is in line with protecting God's world. So that's some ways that I've seen it. There's BioLogos is this group that about faith and science. In particular, I've really only interacted with it on like the ecological level, but they, they go to UN things, and I'm not really versed on like how the UN works, but like conferences or meetings, like, I don't know, but so there are faith leaders and people who are representing Christianity on working with science or working with political leaders, government leaders, world leaders, on behalf of Christianity for the environment. So there are ways to engage, and there is hope. Yeah. Alyssa, there's hope.
Thank you. Well, no, even as you were saying that, there were a few things that popped into my head of like, I've been seeing more and more lately churches hosting community gardens, mm-hmm. where like they're using a piece of their property and giving people the opportunity to like come and plant fruits and vegetables and then offering that out to the community. And that is, oh my gosh, that serves our earth in so many ways. First of all, you're tending the earth, you're feeding people, you're, you know, removing all of the pollution that goes into our food system,
sure.
of like with the trucks and the machines and the packaging and, you know, all of that. It's just taking, like, for some, it's literally just like a 20 by 20 plot of land that they're like, come in and plant your seeds here. And then it's just open to the community. And I love
amazing.
Seeing things like that. I want to see more things like that. So, I don't do this very often on this podcast, but let's look at this church specifically that we're a part of. So Treach Memorial United Methodist Church, what can we do to be better stewards of this earth around us? Like, what changes can we make as a church to do better, big and small?
Well, one thing that was popping up in my head earlier when you were talking about community garden, was thinking about this year for our Lenten mission focus is Mozambique, and in particular helping to fund and create an agricultural supply store that will greatly help people and the environment there in knowing how to farm the land, farming it well, and having the right supplies and best, most effective supplies to do it. So the fact that we're participating and helping make that possible, even though we won't personally, most of us probably won't see the direct fruits of that, knowing that we are making a difference in creation care in a way through our Lenten spiritual practice. But I think even, I feel like I've talked about it before earlier, was with recognizing this as spiritual practices that make integrating it into our spiritual practices, but recognizing, normalizing the language about creation care and expanding our understanding of world and people and what it means to love God and love others. So just, I think even just more conversation, more awareness about it, using it in curriculum, in Sunday schools, in, I mean, in our day of service that we have coming up, one of the things is with Keep Flower Mound Beautiful. So leaning into projects that are not necessarily that are more directed towards truly creation care, having people integrating it into every level of the church. So church administration, so like with, you know, trustees and finance, it's like, are we considering our impact on our world as we have in our social principles says that we do care about, I mean, as the Bible says we care about, in the UMC, what the social principles says
reinforces,
that, right? Yeah. Reinforces. So like integrating it at administrative level, I think could be a really impactful thing, as we look at how we spend our money and how like our, in the upkeep of our building in particular, but also in our serving opportunities. Like having a community garden would be great. I don't know the first place to start with that. So if there's somebody out there who is willing to, if you want to have a chat. So just, I think awareness is the first thing, and making it more, being more inclusive and expanding our imagination of what God could mean in when God says world and people and earth.
Yeah. You know, it kind of, that was a lot.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. I mean that in like, there's so many different directions that we could go, and some are feel huge and you need help to do it, but some are just like really small, like, have some awareness. And it makes me think of John Wesley's Simple Rules of the way I've heard it is do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God.
Yes. Yeah.
Are the three principles. And I feel like if I were just to sit and think about, okay, what can I do to not do any more harm today?
Right.
You know, like, is it that I've got, you know, a reusable water bottle? Is it that I try not to snack on, you know, things wrapped in plastic? Like, what is it? How can I change my grocery shopping habits to make sure I'm doing no harm? And then the next, and that in and of itself can be a huge undertaking of like, because sometimes it feels like
that could feel,
everything does harm.
Right. And in the world that we live in, like it, I don't feel like it is possible to operate in our world right now without like engaging in something that didn't exploit somebody or something in some way, which is, unfortunate. I don't like that that's the reality, but I saw a really good point about this. This is something that I'll like forever will be one of my most quoted, like I will always hold this tagline from a sermon I heard, was that do for one what you wish you could do for all. So basically saying like start small and do what you can, even if you don't think that like your one thing is making a difference. And the world does operate off of our fear. Like that's how news and that's how a lot of people make money, is off of people being afraid of things, and thinking that, you know, if you just buy this thing, or it causes us to change our behavior. But, and so we, as in the United Methodist Church, like we don't, that's not how we approach our relationships with God. And we like, that's one of the reasons people, a lot of times when they find the United Methodist Church, like, you never talked about hell once. Like I didn't realize a church could do that, depending on where they grew up or whatever. And so I saw something that was like, why do we treat the environment the same way, or fill in the blank? It's like, people don't want to act on things out of fear. Like that creates an unhealthy relationship. And then like fear of like,
and you become paralyzed by it.
Yes. Of, so like, we don't want people to be afraid of God. So in the same way, we don't want people, so we don't approach our relationship with God that way. So in the same way, approach your relationship with the world in a way out of gratitude and out of a worship for God, versus I have to do this because otherwise, like, I am making the world die. And
yeah, I'm
like
dooming future generations.
Yeah, right. And like, I am doing this out of fear for the world. And I just think operating out of fear, won't make a long or lasting impact. And people are like, when you're afraid, like you make other decisions and then it causes anxiety anyway. So I really liked that approach. Long story short, I liked the approach of approaching creation care out of love for the earth and love for God,
and not fear of what's going to happen.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And saying, I'm doing this because like, this is worshipful to God that I'm caring for this earth. Or that this was part of my worship for God. And because of my gratitude for this planet that God gave me as a home, what a loving God to give me this to care for. And I want to take care of it too. So yeah.
I think part of it is, you know, you mentioned at the top of the episode, that as suburbanites or city dwellers, we are so disconnected mm-hmm. from the earth. And maybe it's just like, go touch grass.
Right.
Like, go take your shoes off and walk barefoot in the dirt somewhere. Right. Like
find a way to connect to the earth in some way every day. Because it really can't, as suburban people, like we can so easily go through every day and not think about our interaction with the planet, just people, like, and so I think that that's where I was getting with like the presence and being, when you're with prayer, like you become more aware of your like being present. Mm-hmm. And so that presence of just like my surroundings, even if we've developed around the natural earth, there's still natural earth to enjoy and to connect us back. Like there's so much science around like grounding, like feeling your feet on the natural earth, that does something for your physical body. Like there's a reason we feel more at peace in nature. There's some natural instinct to be connected.
Yeah.
To all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, the challenge that I keep receiving over and over again in every single podcast episode with every guest that comes on is I am so bad about focusing on the macro view of the world as opposed to like what's happening right in front of me. Like be present to what's going on around you. Because I am so bad about getting caught up in the doom of a news cycle or seeing, you know, all of these 100-year storms happening year after year after year. It's seeing like the flooding in San Diego and the fires in Amarillo. And like just it feels like the world is just falling apart and it's all our fault. But I know I like and I get so down on myself and I'm so hard on myself. And it takes you to this place of apathy, which is like the worst place to be. Like there's nothing worse to me than just being apathetic to what's happening around you because you feel like you can't make a difference or you don't make an impact. So I think I really needed to hear that there's hope.
I mean,
the little things do matter. And that's something that I have to tell myself over and over and over again.
But also it was reminding me in preparing for this, like, I claim to believe in a God who is about resurrection and who is about new creation and abundance. And I am just as guilty as you of feeling overwhelmed and like, okay, what's even the point of like me trying to not use plastic? And so and this might be where the tension of faith and science comes in, but like, I do believe in a God who raised Jesus from the dead. I see resurrection on a daily basis in all kinds of ways. So why can't God do something miraculous here? And I want to participate in some way and however I can, but it's a challenge for me not to limit God and what God can do, because I do lean very heavily into God does call us to action, but also God can do a lot of things that I can't do. So it gives me more like, okay, I got to lean into the God doing transformation work.
Looking ahead, what do you envision as the role of the church in shaping a more sustainable and environmentally conscious future?
I think this could be said for almost any issue. I don't like using the word issue, but I can't think of another word.
Cause.
Yeah. Christians should always be leading the way in anything that God cares about. We should always be participating in those conversations because we see it as imperative to our faith in, like, that our faith naturally inclines us to care about it. Because I believe in God, because I believe in a God of resurrection, I care about taking care of this planet. And so I would love to see the church be more on the forefront of conversations. And I think there are churches who are, like I've mentioned, there are different organizations and theologians who this is where they've dedicated their lives. So I would love to see the church engage more with science in a way that's productive and hopeful, and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So making the kingdom of God more apparent on earth. So that would look like lots of ways in interacting with people. You know, people won't be hungry, people won't be sick, people won't, you know, will be in harmony, but that can also, some people, this is what God has placed on their heart as a primary way of bringing about God's kingdom. So I don't think we can all be martyrs for the cause, but God has given different people different passions for building God's kingdom on earth. So I think the church gets to talk about it more, more people in the church can realize like, oh, I didn't realize this was something that has to do with my faith. And this is where I want to grow in building the kingdom of God.
Yeah. It feels like moving forward, we just need to have an attitude of learning. And yeah. like when the prophets come to us and say, you stink, or like, right. oh my gosh, I am a little smelly.
Right. Like, oh,
what can I do? Yeah. I don't want to be stinky. But I think that we as humans more often react the way that the people did in the Bible
the prophets
and just like running them out of town.
Yeah,
like,
go,
we don't want to hear that.
Don't want to hear it. Who invited you? Nobody said.
Nobody. You can't sit with us. No, nobody wants you here.
Right.
So I think that if we can just stop taking it personally.
Yes.
And I need to hear that too.
Oh, I do too.
Of
yes.
like, I'm just like, I'm trying the best that I can. And I think we just have to remember, like, we're all doing our best.
Yes.
We're all really trying.
Grace abounds.
Yeah, have grace for each other, have compassion for each other, but have that attitude of learning as we move
yes.
forward and figure out like, how can we do better? Because I think we can do better.
Yeah, I think we can.
I love what you said about participating.
Yeah, in whatever way you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful. I think that's one of our callings as Christians is to be a people of hope. When things feel like there's no way this can come out good. And it's like, oh, wait, I believe in the God who said death doesn't even get the final answer. I need to reorient my way of thinking.
Yeah.
I think Jesus probably was a tree hugger, if that was a phrase. Jesus always talked about loving people and loving God. So I think Jesus would not be offended by being called a tree hugger. So I'll leave with that.
The Life Plus God podcast is hosted, written, and produced by me, Alyssa Robinson, and sponsored by Treach Memorial United Methodist Church in Flower Mound, Texas. If you live in the Flower Mound area, I invite you to stop by and see if Treach could be your new church family. You can learn more about all of our programs and events at tmumc.org, and I hope to catch you next week for our next episode of the Life Plus God podcast.